Hey
there, Hank. This your girl Dominique LeBlue. I am so glad you are on Anchor. Now I can listen to you while I drive. Anyways, much success. See you around. Bye.
What's going on, y'all? You know it is. It's your boy, Big Tank. Hank, coming at you with another live stream. And Hank's wild about Hurts. But you know what? There's somebody else that might be a little more wild about Hurts than I am. I got Tish of Python Spawn, y'all. Yes. I really enjoy her videos and her passion for this here thing. Dominique, what's going on? Her passion for this here morph game. I was digging it. And y'all need to be digging it too. So without further ado, let's bring up Kiki Bosa. What's going on, Tish?
Hey, how are you, Hank?
Oh, I'm good. Glad that you're here. Glad that you're here. Hey, there's not a lot of people. This is going to sound narcissistic. But those people that know me in the Fish fam, I'm actually a humble dude. But I'm going to say it. I'm going to put myself out there. And I'm not even going to lie, y'all. I'm capping because my boy Jeffrey Watts is in the chat right there. There's not too many people that get to sit down in front of me. And I don't even do YouTube for money or none of that. It's about quality. Quality. And you happen to be one of those people.
I appreciate that.
You don't know how much, you know, ma'am, every time somebody tells me thank you, you know, and yes, and I'm glad you asked me, and you telling me you want to be on my stream, and I don't mean want to be as in you knew who I was, nothing like that. I mean just from me asking and you accepting. See what I'm saying? That's... People just don't understand, you know. Yeah, I go to a little fish store and somebody say, hey, are you Big Tank Hank? Yes. And this is my son, No Tank Joshua. But yes, you know, for people to recognize me, that's cool. That's cool. Beyond belief. But still every day, it's hard for me to believe that God allowed me to sit here and do this and be able to talk to, you know, such good people that I find in these here animal hobbies. And again, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
No problem. I'm going to let you introduce. Hey, thank you for your efforts, you know, in protecting our country. And we got a day coming up for you. That day is worth more than barbecue and beer and all that the people is going to do. But they forget, you know, why these days exist. You know, respect and thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Now tell the people.
If you see me looking around, it's because I'm watching it on my phone. So I'm like trying to look at the stuff here.
Right. You're good. I see them rolling in. We're going to go to chat and see who we got starting off early. And then I'm going to let you tell them a little bit about yourself.
Okay.
Dominique LeBlue. Where's Macho at? Bosa Ball, sir. Salute you. Jeffrey Wise. My homeboy, what's going on, man? Dennis Christensen, welcome. T-Bone, good day, mate. Thanks for falling up in here, T-Bone. Hey, T-Bone, let's get all of Australia in the house. Tell them we got something good going on over here. All right, ma'am. Introduce yourself, tell them who you are. Go from Little Tish to Big Tish, and we're going to go.
All right. So, I'm Tish from Python Spawn. If you guys don't know, I breed ball pythons and a couple other species, just now getting into. I do it as a hobby. I love what I do. That's what I do.
Blood python, I think is my favorite. Super favorite, but you know, I was already telling you about my wife's scenario with the snakes. I don't think, you know, a blood python would be like my first, should be my first snake that I bring it in. You know,
I don't know. I don't want to say that they're bad. They're not. I have two. I had them since they were babies, and they've been a little finicky since they were babies. Like, it is not. It is what it is. They're obviously not as predictable as like a ball python or, you know, a boa or something. They're a little bit more unpredictable that I can see personally. What I personally think. I can't see when they're gonna strike me because their strikes are just so random. So that's like the weirdest thing with them. That's why I'm a little bit more. I hate to say it, but I guess I am gonna say it. I'm a little bit more afraid than the average snake. I'll pick up a wild snake no problem over those bloods. I'm always very careful with my bloods because a bite from them is gonna suck. So.
Yeah. So. They might lean into the bite.
And they're pretty strong. Even as big as they are, they're pushing maybe like 15 to 20, 2,000 grams or something like that. You know, they're not that big when you consider how big bloods get. And they're not really big. They get long. They get thick. Like
girthy, husky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've never bit me, so that's good. I don't really give them a chance to be totally honest, but
you gotta get in their face, you know. You gotta let them know. What's that? I might would be all right. You know, I done had all the bull breeds. I've had 200-pound American bulldogs. I've had bull mastiffs, and I had one dog I couldn't keep in a kennel. Like, put him in a kennel. He was coming out of the kennel. Over it, through the door, something, he was coming out. And I'd have to get his bowl and put rocks in it. Because if he was out, he knew what was going on. He was not going to come back. But he wasn't smart enough to realize there was always rocks in that food bowl, so he needed to come back. But I think I might be able to handle some bloods. I don't know. My wife wouldn't be able to, though. Oh, crap. Brew, what's going on, man? Welcome in. Big Easy, what's happening, homie? What's happening?
Do they make me bleed?
They make you bleed. Yeah.
They haven't made me bleed yet.
Hey Jeff, you gonna have to Google a blood python, man. They bad, man.
They're dope. Even the hybrids, the blood ball python hybrids, those things are dope too. I don't know. I've never seen one in person, but they look pretty dope.
Okay. So, ma'am, you're a part of the hobby. Joe Munoz! You're a part of the hobby. Where do you want to fall in to the, I'm going to use the word hierarchy, because, you know, if we make business out of it, I don't think any of us just want to flounder, you know? Where do you want to see yourself? You want to be the quantity maker? You want to be the super morph maker? Like, nobody has seen this. Nobody's going to touch it. Where do you see yourself falling into any spot?
I don't think I'm, and I'm not saying that I don't want to, but I don't think I'm ever going to be that breeder that is like always quality. Like they're chasing the new genetics or something like that. I personally want to breed snakes for people to have them affordably. Like I have a few here and there that are a little bit more expensive than the usual, and I'm sure part of my business is gonna be like that. But the majority of what I love to see personally, I like to see new snake owners. I like to, you know, if anybody in my circle wants a new pet, I want them to come to me. I want the local people to come to me. I want to be the person that you get a healthy reptile from. That's what I want to be locally. I'm not good with, I guess, people recognizing me or I don't think the fame would work for me. It's just not there for me. I'm a little bit of a recluse in that aspect. We talked a little bit about that on my stage. I do what I can and I appear where I can. But my primary goal is to get to know other people, educate people on the animal that they choose to have. And if I don't have the answers, I want a community of people around me that I can also, you know, send customers to as well. For that 7-year-old that wants a crested gecko, or the 14-year-old that wants a bearded dragon, I want to be able to have that connection with people. I want everybody to stop being afraid of reptiles and realize that these animals can be just as good as a dog or a cat. That's my primary goal. That's why I'm not huge with like a whole bunch of clutches. Like, I haven't pushed anybody this season. You guys can see for yourself. I have 3 clutches in the incubator right now. I've had 4 in total this year. I'm not pushing for that. Like, that was my, you know, that was the first goal when you came in here. Yeah, I want to make money. But the more I'm around these animals and the more I fall in love with them, like, I don't know, it's just not important anymore. What I love more is when I show these animals, like, if there are people come over to my house, the joy in their faces. The fear that turns into a desire to have them, which is why that is my saying. I've seen it so many times where little girls, little boys come up to me and they're terrified. And I show them, I'm like, you don't have to be terrified. And then I'll start with the tail, then I'll start with the body. And then they're wanting to hold my biggest snakes. You know, that's what I want to see. I don't like the stereotypical, oh, I hate reptiles. I kill all snakes. Every snake is a dead, only good snake is a dead snake. I hate those. Yeah. It annoys me, and I probably shouldn't say that, but it does. It does annoy me when people don't even give certain animals a chance, even down to rats. It's just, I don't see, they can make fantastic pets. Like, I don't see why people are so afraid of animals. It's just, I don't know. I want to be able to be a part of that reason why normal people are, because, you know, we're the weirdos. Normal people are also not afraid of these animals. That's my primary goal, personally.
Gotcha.
And if I make a little extra money on the side, that's great.
You know, well, then, ironically, you know, I told you the energy, how I, you know, I have a tattoo right here. Well, I have 3 tattoos that's pit bulldogs, but I have one that says pit dog man. That's what people used to call me. My saying was, every backyard should have a pit bull in it. I gave away more dogs than I sold. Yes, I like everybody else. I was like, man, I'm going to do this and I'm going to sell. I'm going to make all this money. Yeah, no, I was just like, hey, look, you want one?
You fall in love with them and you want to kill them. That's just what it is. Yeah. Like, pit bulls are amazing. I have one myself and they make great dogs. Mine had an issue when he was younger, which is why he's not really allowed to be around other dogs now. But if that incident didn't happen, he grew up in going to dog parks and with a whole bunch of animals. And now, you know, he got attacked when he was a year and a half old by a German Shepherd, and he hasn't been the same. But it's not his fault, so...
No, not at all.
He is what he is, and I love him regardless. So, you know, yeah, he's good with me, good with my son, he's good with the other dog I have, and that's pretty much all that I care about, so...
Gotcha. Most definitely. Garcia Quadis, welcome in. Hey, Joe Munoz, I have a snake named after me already. Thanks to Bob Kaler. Now, if you name your bearded dragon after me, hey, I'm on a roll. Everybody should name a pet after me. I ain't even tripping.
Hank the Tank.
That's cool. But yeah, now, the ball pythons. So, do you have all of your desired morphs in your presence, or is there any that you're looking for?
No, definitely not. I want acid as one of the ones I want. I don't have lavender albino, even though in my opinion I actually like regular albino more. The stuff that JKR is putting out right now, when you mix with the darker morphs, I'm starting to like lavender albino a little bit more. Acid is a big one though. I definitely want acid at some point. I want a little more cypress. I like what Cypress is doing right now, and a ton more Ultramel. I do have that stuff, and I have one snake with Cypress, but Acid is one of the biggest ones that I want. And Lori. Acid and Lori. Those are the two that I don't have that I want.
Lori, I haven't heard of that one yet.
Yeah. Lori is he's one that I believe was produced from Brian Barchak. Yeah. And he has like really pretty ones too. They're like the Super Loris, and there's like Super Lori leopards, and pretty cool. It's a cool morph. That's just one I want to incorporate into my collection, for sure.
Okay, good. PB Aquatics, welcome in the house. Welcome in. I have to let everybody know that PB is my twin. I trim my beard down a little bit so we won't look so much alike, you know. He's just light-skinned, you know, and Hispanic, and has hair, and you can use your imagination. He's still my brother. What's going on, man? Welcome in here, fella. Welcome in. All right, now, out of all of the morphs that you have, and if you could show us, we would really love it. What is your favorite?
All right. I think I already showed you my favorite.
You showed me.
Hey, mommy. Come here.
So this girl, she's my first baby I ever produced. First clutch, first recessive, first paradox, first female.
And it's cool for your first clutch to have that snake come out of it, so that's super cool.
I have the video on it. It was crazy when I cut that clutch. Hey, babies. Yeah, she's my favorite girl. She's my go-to snake when I want somebody to, like, see a snake for the first time, like if they're afraid of snakes. She is just the sweetest girl ever. She's never even striked at me. She's never hissed, nothing. Not that I ever heard, at least. And she's getting pretty big. So she was a 2020, yeah, she was a 2020 baby, and she's pretty much already breeding size as she's getting to it. I think she's like 1,400 grams right now, so she's getting close. I haven't paired her or anything yet, but this is my favorite snake in my entire collection. And second is her mom, because her mom is just as sweet, and she just laid eggs though, so I'm not gonna really bug her. She's back on food mode, so she's a little bit crazy right now, right?
Okay. Good deal. Have you already in your head got a picture of a pairing?
Of a pairing? For this season?
Yeah, for her.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. She's going to her. I'm gonna say it, but she's going to her dad. Oh yeah. I want some Sunmas, super mahogany albinos. That's what my goal is. Hopefully make a male of that. I need a super mahogany albino visual to continue what I want to get done. Right?
And it is crazy. Like I'm talking about how that genetic wormhole, I've never seen a snake that looks like that. And in the last, 4 months or whatever, me watching videos, you see snake, and JKR, I have, you know, his updates, and Ozzy, and all these people updates come up, and it's like you develop a name. I'm just speaking from me now. Don't nobody put this on nobody else. Put this on me, because I don't have no snake. I don't have no fight. I don't have no dog in the fight. When you develop a name, it's a wonderful thing, but there's so many other people who need to feel better about their snake room. because they're making stuff that hadn't been made yet, or that's very, very, I mean, even if you got one or two, just as beautiful in its own right. But that hype monster, that hype train will, you know, take people over and drag them away from you. You have to feel good about what you have. And when we go to these shows and they have them out there, man, hey, check me out. See what I got right here. And let it do its own thing. That's crazy, though. It's, man, some of these prices, I got, I don't know why I downloaded more off market and got an account because.
Bad idea.
There's these emails popping up, and I'm like, oh man, what? Why in the world? You know, oh, and how much? Oh man, oh, I'll be shot. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. The prices can get pretty crazy.
And I have no clue of how to even. Is it okay? With dogs, there was an actual market, you know, that you could go by. And it was the same across the board. Like, hey, this is what I have, purebred, I have papers, price. It didn't fluctuate. Nobody said, well, hey, mine are two, but I'm going to add another $2,000 to it. It really, you really didn't see that. Man, from snakes, you see two snakes, one is $700 and this one is $16,000. And I know it's the, what's in it.
Genetics, yeah.
You know, I understand that, but you know, visuals for people that's just new in it, it's just that, it's visual. We see the snake, you know, and I'm like, well, hey, I'll get that one over there. Why is this one, why does this one cost this? It's disheartening.
Yeah, it's have you been to like a show where you've seen them in person?
No, I how can I put it? I told somebody the other day, I said, I want to go to my first one. I said, but how do you get past the first table? You know, especially the big ones. I'm like, how do I even see what else is there?
You wait to go to the big breeders. You go to the smaller breeders first. You know, see what you can actually afford, and then you can go and window shop at the big breeders. That's pretty much what I do. They're amazing, but it was the first time I ever saw a $30,000 snake in front of me. And hold it. Like, it was, I was like, wow. Ball python, like, pretty, 250 grams, $30,000.
Oh.
Like, to be able to see that in person. And by the way, none of these snakes look anything or like the videos do no justice as, yeah, you know, compared to in person. Because when you see all these snakes that JKR is actually making and Bob's Balls and, you know, a whole bunch of other people, like, it's insane when you actually see it in person. It's like, yeah, that looked crazy on the internet. It looks even, it doesn't even look real when it's in person.
Gotcha.
The colors are just totally different.
Yeah, they got me a couple of times on Instagram where, you know, you got these people that are making these fake snakes like the, mm-hmm. Okay. If they were still just having regulars and somebody was making, okay, you might not could get me. But since I have seen such crazy, you know, live snakes, you know, this guy had one that's wrapped around his hand, you know, and I'm like, man, that is off the hook. I can't believe. Then I read a little bit. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. That's how we doing. That's how you gonna,
yep,
do
it. I mean, they got pretty. They got so good at it that you can't even tell the difference. Like, I mean, that's very creative for them. Like, it's amazing art. You know.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's out there. It's real, it's real. So, have you man, what's the word I would look for? I don't want to say pedal. Have you had any snakes to sell at a show or like displayed any?
Yeah, I've been to three shows. I'm going to another one, I think in like 2 weeks. Funny enough, I don't have anything to sell really, but I'm going anyway. Because I sponsored, you know, the show. So one of the
okay.
men sponsored the show. So going to Rhode Island's Show Me Snakes, and yeah, I've sold. I haven't done like really well at shows, but I have met so many people. It is so cool. I actually really love the shows. So I've done one in Pennsylvania, I've done one in Rhode Island, and I've done one locally here. And the one that was local to me was probably, it's funny because nobody recognized me from the one that was local, like nobody. But when I went to Rhode Island and when I went to Pennsylvania, there was people that were in line waiting to get in that knew me. I was like, huh. And when I went to like Arlington, it was a couple people that recognized me at the airport. I was like, talking to me? Like, it was so weird. And it was like, I'm not used to like being known. So that was definitely weird. But the show here locally, since nobody really knew me, it was kind of cool because people just came right up to me. I guess how I look, I don't know. I guess I'm welcoming in a way. And the kids just were drawn to me. And I also had my 5-year-old son with me, so he kind of drew people in too, just holding snakes. But I was also right next to our local reptile store that they were vending as well. And I've known them since I was like 16. So, and then the other side of me, I had a pretty big breeder as well. And he was bringing in a lot of people, but and he would bring people to me. I was like, I just want to hang out with the kids and the parents and just kind of talk snakes. And I think I sold like 6 or 7 snakes, but I had the lowest end snakes. I had $50 snakes, $60 snakes, you know. I think my most expensive snake that day was like $250. And I pretty much sold out on all the smaller snakes, like the lower end snakes. And it made so many people happy. I love vending. Vending is awesome. It's an opportunity to give everybody, you know, their first pet in a decently affordable way. And it also gives me a chance to, you know, put my name out there, which is cool too. So I get to make new friends. So that's cool.
Gotcha. Good deal. Good deal. I'm going to ask the question we have in chat. Then I'm going to ask my question. My question might take a while to answer. Okay. Garcia Aquatic says, how long does it take to make a snake?
Wow. That's a very loaded question, honestly. So, I start usually, I've actually stopped having like a breeding season, but I start pairing my snakes pretty much the day after Halloween. It's or sometimes I'll do it on Halloween. I've done Halloween twice. I started the day after Halloween this year. So that's when you have to start pairing. And if, like, the females will be eating a lot. I would say, depending on the snake, because every snake is different, it can take to ovulate about 3 months after you start pairing, and depends on where their follicle growth is. And I have an ultrasound machine that kind of shows me where their follicle growth is, because it takes all the guessing out of it. And once they're like 20 millimeters, once they're about 20 millimeters, the follicles, you're pretty much doing your last locks. And that by the time that's done, then it'll have their pre-ovulation shed, and then they'll ovulate, and then which is about 30 days after. After that, you'll have your pre-lay shed, and then 30 days after that, you have eggs, and then 2 months after that, you have baby snakes. It's a process. I would say 6 to 8 months, and they only breed once a year. Yeah, you have some that go later, you have some that go sooner. So yeah, on average, 6 to 8 months.
Okay. Now that just gave me another question. I don't want to forget the first question I had, but I'm gonna ask this question because we're here. People wait. I know it's a rule of thumb, but then I've heard some other stuff. People wait for the thousand gram area, you know, to breed their snake. Mm-hmm. But then I've heard, hey, if a snake is ready to go and it's healthy and it's, some people just let them go.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's two questions.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Mm-hmm. No, I guess technically it's one question, because the way you answered will answer both questions. What do you do?
So ideally, I do wait until 1500 grams. There's a reason for it. My main concern, because I've had it happen to me before, is I'm afraid that a snake that is not ready to breed or shows no interest in breeding, I'm afraid that they're going to get egg-bound if they do become gravid. And that's very stressful, and the snake's very stressful for me. So I try not to do anything under 1500 grams. But that's not to say that I've never paired under 1500 grams. I've never had a female go under 1500 grams. But I've never, I have, like, if a female is having, like, a food strike, she's not wanting to eat. One of the first things I do is pair, because that puts them into breeding mode, which means they're going to start pounding rodents. Now, if by the time she starts eating a lot more and it actually works that she got that first lock, she's like 1200 grams, I'm not going to pair her again. And I have the ultrasound, like I said, I'm not going to pair her again. That was just to get her to eat. If she ends up eating and it's successful, she's going to start putting on that weight. And before we even know it, she's going to be 1500 grams. It's just at that point now, her follicles are bigger. So if she hits that 1500 gram by the time it's ready for, like, she's gotten to that weight, if she hits the 1500 grams and she's in good health, she's eating, she's drinking, she's doing everything right, there's no issues, no respiratory issues or anything, any type of sickness, I will continue to go ahead and pair. But if she did not, I will stop completely, and I put there's a certain card that I won't. Where is it? There's a red tag like this. I don't even have one out because none of my females have done it this year. There's a red tag that's no pairing. She'll have off for the year. There's no reason to push that animal if you don't need to. There's really no reason for you to need to, because you'll see the difference. You'll see if she's interested, she'll do the bull wrapping and then all of that, all of the classic signs. If you don't see her doing any of that, leave her alone. Just wait until the next season. And she'll definitely be putting on a lot of weight. But if she's not eating at all, no, absolutely not. That first time, I'll give her that lock just to see if she will lock, and just to make sure to see if she'll eat. Other than that, no. But have I had females that were like 1400 grams, 1350? Have they continued to pair? Yeah, I've done it. And that's because the female was ravenous. She would eat crazy and she gained the weight so fast. So yeah, I've done it before, but I usually wait until 1500 grams. It's only when the female just kind of get crazy that I'll go a little bit earlier. But it really depends on the snake. But I can say honestly that I've only done under 1500 grams 3 times to get snakes to eat. Yeah. And this one, the one that just laid for me, was one of them. My double head albino pied, she just hit that 1,000 gram wall. And finally, when she started eating again, she had stopped. It was like 1,200-ish grams. I paired her one more time, didn't pair her again. She started eating again. She slammed food, then she stopped. Ultrasounded, she was gravid. Sometimes it just happens. It just takes one lock sometimes. And then sometimes it's quicker than other snakes. It's so weird. You just really don't have a timeline. Because I thought she was going to go before my albino, and my albino went like that, like really quick. And I didn't even expect her to go this year. I didn't check her follicles, nothing. I paired her one time, and that was it. It all depends on the snake. She's giving me a great clutch every season. And she's almost always on time.
Gotcha. Now, the first question that I had before I let myself get derailed, ADHD. Would you say, no, are there more people that breed, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, but I think you'll know what I'm talking about, that breed for the show as opposed to, you know, I'm breeding and I'm advertising, you know, I have snakes and you're coming to me or Morph Market. You have those people that's like, hey, I just like going to these shows and vending every year. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I've seen everything. I've seen family businesses. I've seen hobbyists that only have 10 snakes on theirs. I see big breeders. I see people that have never been on YouTube, you've never heard of them, and they're doing amazing. I've seen it all, pretty much. Like, I don't think there's one answer to do this. There is no one answer. You can do it as small scale and as big scale as you really want to and what you can comfortably accomplish on your own. Whether you're on your own completely, like me, or you have it's a family thing, or it's a husband and wife, or it's a father-daughter, or it's a mother-son, whatever the case. Or it's a, you know, a couples, I don't know, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with and how you want to do it, that's pretty much what I've seen. Like I said, I've seen it all. Me totally by myself, with my cinematographer. That's who I vend with, and my son from time to time. And I see people that will vend one show and I've never seen them again. Maybe they just don't like vending and they'll just stay with Morph Market. Maybe they just got out the game altogether. That's where I got these from. This was a pretty decent breeder, and her husband just didn't want to do it anymore. And then she was like, I can't do it on my own. And she completely got out the game. And it was 12 years of doing it. And, you know, they sold their old collection and, you know, they made their money. They did what they had to do, but they just washed their hands of it and that was it. And it's okay to do that. You know, it's okay to change your mind. You're not obligated. Just as long as the animals are treated right and you get them a good home, or you stay with them and you have 100 or 200 and you're taking care of them properly, that's all that really matters. As long as the animals are okay at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. How you vend, or why you vend, or how many times you vend, or if you're only on Morph Market, if you're doing it for YouTube, if you want to make money, if you don't want to make money. I've seen it all. I've literally seen it all. So it's like, there's the huge breeder next to me that would not go on camera with. Won't do it. But he exports and imports and he does everything he needs to do. He makes money. He loves the genetics. He loves the snakes. He just doesn't need to tell people that. Like, he doesn't, you know, he has a name. Gotcha. He doesn't need to talk about it, you know? Everybody's different.
Gotcha. Melvin, John Larson, Steve, what's going on? Welcome in, y'all. Welcome in. Did I miss anybody? Caught up. Yes. All right. Have you had a chance to tour one of the super huge facilities?
No. Nope. Lone Star, but I guess he's not like super decent breeder though. His facility is awesome. But no, I've never been to like the JKRs or the Mutation Creations or Always Evolving, or I've never even been to the Reptarium. I went to Snake Discovery. I went to theirs. So that was cool. Yeah, when I went to a military school, I went and for the weekend, I went to the Snake Discovery place, which was really cool. So I guess one, because they're a pretty big YouTube channel, but not, and they're pretty big breeders too. Like, they do a decent amount of techniques. So yeah, I guess they're the only ones that I've actually been to, but not like a big facility like JKR's or anybody.
Keisha, welcome in. Yeah, it seemed like if I went to something as big as some of these facilities, I would get like vertigo and tunnel vision and maybe pass out, you know? so I'm like, oh my God.
I just can't imagine. A debit card, cash, or a credit card, because I know I would sell my house to get something. I just know it, so I couldn't. Like, I'm planning, you know, fingers crossed, I'm planning on going to the Reptarium and to visit Billy at Mutation Creation in Canada. this year. But it all depends, you know, on funds. So right now it's a guarantee that I'm going to Arlington. I've already got my plane ticket, so I am going to Arlington this year. But as for, I think Tinley too, because I already took off of work for Tinley, and I'm driving to Tinley. So yeah,
I might need to try to go to Arlington. I'm speaking too soon. I already missed so many days of work with this other stuff I'm dealing with. So don't let me put that in my head. Okay. Okay. I'm back on focus. What? What would be your, right now, your biggest dream in your hobby?
My biggest dream in my hobby?
Yeah, in the hobby. And a dream, you know, doesn't have to, you know, if a dream can still come true, all you have to do is wake up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I always said I wanted a farm, and it'd be nice to have, like, with the farm, with, like, the animals that I have outside, and then have, like, two barns that look like this. Okay, three barns that look like this, but bigger. And I would like to have, like, adults in one, incubator and babies in another, and then like a rodent one and like an ASF and a mouse one. Okay, I need like five. I need like five of them on this farm, and then I still want to have a working one. So like it's like I want all of this to just have like a big piece of property and expand pretty much. And I want to be able to provide, you know, reptiles in general, rodents, and, you know, all the way up to fresh eggs and goat milk. You know, I just want everything all together. I love all animals. So I guess I want to work off the land, in other words. And I want to be completely self-sufficient. So, like, right now, I do the rodents. I want to be able to feed the reptiles from my own collection. So I just started to grow organic vegetables for them. So I don't have to go to the store all the time, and I have it here and it's fresher. I would ideally like to at some point provide my own, or like make my own rodent food, because I feel like that's one of the biggest problems right now, is trying to get a good cost for rodent food. So I'd like to have like a little business on like selling rodent food that's affordable for everybody, so that anybody that is self-sufficient with the rodents, for their reptile collection, would be able to afford like a healthy food for their rodents to then feed to your snakes. So that's the goal. That's probably my 10-year goal, is to get to that level, get my farm and have everything clean, separate, organized in one area that I can be completely self-sufficient and be 100% to everything. That's what I want. But no, it's not going to be primarily this. This is a big part of my life, huge part of my life, but I am branching out. Eventually, which I haven't really told many people, the name is going to even change very soon. It's going to be Python Spawn Exotics, because I don't want to put it just one type of snake, because I love them all, and I don't know what I'm gonna branch out into, but right now I am just doing pairs of different species, which is why I have a pair of bloods. I have a pair of the Peruvian milk snakes. I have a pair of the gopher snakes. I'm gonna have a pair of the boas. I just have the boy right now because I want to get the perfect boa female. I just want to start small, see what I can handle. Oh, and the sand boas. See what I can handle, see what I like to breed. If I don't particularly like to breed that animal, like live birds, I'm not 100% okay with them. I lost snakes last season because of the live births. I'm not used to it. So there's a lot more that I still have to learn, and I have to experience for myself to see if I'm able to do it. Like, I don't think I would ever breed ducks or chickens because it's a lot of work and it's a very smelly process. But when I expand on the reptiles, I already know that. I'm comfortable with it. I just need to learn other species and how they work and their breeding schedules and brumation and so on and so forth. It's a lot of steps and it's going to take a lot of time. So that's eventually what I want to get to. I don't want to be too big to where I can't handle it myself and with like a few of my close friends and family. I'd like to be able to sustain my close friends and family with what I'm doing. That's pretty much my goal. I don't need to be like a multi-millionaire. I just want to be able to do what I love, help the people around me, and that's it.
Very cool. Very cool. Most definitely. Hey, Majestic Cichlids is in the house. So what are you feeding right now? Are you doing mice or are you doing ASF?
I do all three.
Okay.
Norwegians, ASFs, mice. I breed all three.
Gotcha.
But I don't sustain my whole collection on what I breed. I do get from outside sources when I need to. Like right now, all the ones I have to my right, because it's feeding night, I pushed my night by 2 days, so because I've been busy at work. But yeah, those are all the rodents that I produced myself, and then I'm still gonna have to grab 20 for the adult females because I haven't had enough for the adult females. So I'm gonna need smediums for the 20.
Mediums. So which ones do you prefer?
Rats. Yeah, rats. There's a pros and cons to both. The pros to rats, they're not aggressive. They have a lot of babies. They're not as messy. Like they don't they stink, but not like as much as mice, which is, we'll get to that. They get pretty big, so they could feed my entire collection on their whole life, you know, their life cycle. Except for a couple, which is why I have mice and ASFs. And then you have the ASFs that will feed the finicky eaters, but they're, mine are not that mean. They also don't smell that bad, but the way they grow is very, very, very long. It's like, geez, the freaking rats have weans now and you guys are still like barely have fur. It's like, it's very annoying. It takes a lot longer for the ASFs. And then the mice smell terribly and they're not very nice. But pro, their babies are small enough for even the smallest snakes that I have, such as the hatchling sand boas or the Peruvian milk snake or any small, or like the garter snakes that I'm going to eventually get because I want to pick the garter snakes, the gopher snakes, like all of those need smaller meals. So I kind of like to have all three of them, but if I were to pick one and I can only do one, it would be rats for sure.
I wonder, okay, we know the general genetic makeup of animals. You have larger animals, usually take longer to grow. So I wonder what is the thing with ASF dragging out life cycle when you got a rat that'll get this big, you know? You would think they would grow slower.
You would think they would grow, like, you would think ASFs would grow faster because,
yeah,
you know, the circle of life, you guys are going to get killed so easily. Like, everything is eating you. So you would think, like, naturally, they would be faster, like mice and rats.
Yeah.
I don't know what is up with those little things. Like, I don't know. And it's also annoying to, like, clean their cages, too, because when they get to, like, fuzzy size, I call them little popcorns, because they'll pop. If you touch them, they'll pop out of the cage. They'll just go pop, pop, pop. And it's so annoying. So you're like trying to catch one on this one, and it's like, dude, like stay there. And there's like a lot of them. So there's like 50 of them, and you're like trying to like prevent them from getting out. They're also the best escape artists out of all of the rodents that I have. Rats, very random, very seldom do they get out. Unless I dropped it myself, they don't get out. Mice don't even try to get out. They're like, hey, you feed me? I have water, I have food, I have babies, breed. They stay where they're at. ASFs are escape artists. I don't know what is up with them. They don't like to be contained. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But, yeah. It all depends. It all depends. I don't know what is up with them. It's frustrating, though.
Oh, that's crazy. All right, let's touch on some of the other pairs of snakes that you have. If you can, tell me, could you have what, four other types?
No, I think I have more than that now.
Four? Okay. Tell me your interest and direction in each one.
Okay. So, boas. My interests, the oddest interest, a lot of people like when they come to see my snakes, they want to see the biggest one. So I just wanted a pair just for show. And then I breed the one pair. I don't think I'm ever going to have more than one pair of boas, just like I'm never going to have one pair of bloods. It's just never going to happen. That's what I can control. That's what I can maintain. They're going to primarily be show animals and maybe breed every other year when they get to breeding size. I don't need that many. I really don't. And I think they make fantastic pets. I just can't have anything like bigger than that, like more than one, you know what I'm saying? It's just not feasible for me. The gopher snakes, I think they're freaking awesome. They're long snakes, 6-7 foot, but they stay slender. They have a very quirky personality. They're hefty, but they're not like gonna strangle you. So I love that. It's something. They have like a different scales. They're just all around cooler, and they have this little rattle. They rattle their tail, and their genetics work the same. So they're both head albinos. If depending on how the breeding goes when they're old enough, I might get more of them. I may not, because eventually I'm gonna need some racks for them, the big, huge boa racks. I'm not like in a huge rush for them. The milk snakes, I have a Pueblan and a Nelson's albino milk snake. They're awesome. I want to definitely expand. I do want corns. I do have a male corn right now. I want a palmetto. I fell in love with the palmetto corn snakes. They're absolutely gorgeous. I do want a couple of pairs of them, but not too many, because I don't like the way like a normal corn snake looks. Palmettos look different. That's why I like them. I have a regular corn snake from the sun, but it's like a corn snake's a corn snake. Nothing like a palmetto, though. Palmettos are very different. So that's definitely a dream snake of mine. So is a Dumeril's boa. Dumeril's boa is on the list, too, that I'm going to get soon. The boa. I already said the boa. Let's see. What else do I have? The sand boas. I love the live birth. The only sucky part is that I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't like not being able to track them. What else do I have? I think that's it. For species, I'm gonna go into the colubrids a lot more. And I'm only gonna have a certain amount of boas, including the Dumerils. So there should be four in total. I'm gonna get a pair of Dumerils and then the two regular boas, the two bloods, and then the gophers that are going to be the biggest. Those are going to be my big snakes. And then I'm going to probably have a decent amount of milk snakes. Yeah, it's going to be cool.
The musking got me out of the colubrids like overnight.
I haven't really gotten musked. The only thing that I don't like about them is that they poop. all the time. Like, you don't see ball pythons doing that. Like, it's rare that they poop on you. Like, I've only gotten pooped on maybe twice in 3 years that I've had so many of them. I don't really get pooped on. This little thing poops on me every chance it gets. Every time I pick it up, it's pooping on me. It's ridiculous. It's like, dude, like, I pick you up like 3 times a week. Why are you still pooping on me? And it's like, it has an attitude on this one. Definitely has an attitude. But it's like every time it's wiggly, it doesn't like to be bothered. Oh, there you are. But when they get older, this is just when they're small. When they get older, see, there it is pooping. Oh, come on. Like clockwork. But when it gets older, it's going to calm down. It's going to calm down. They always do.
Okay.
I saw the vent opening up. I'm like, oh, there we go. Let me put you back.
I was saying, I hope you're not just convincing yourself, oh, he's going to calm down.
I don't know. They're weird little monkeys. Yeah. They're all weird.
Equiline, welcome. Yeah, I had what's it, a milk snake? Black. Which one is black and white?
The king snakes.
Okay, I had king snakes. And it was little, you know, man. I could just go with, like, by the cage. I mean, he wasn't even. I'm like, for real, dude, you know. I don't even reach in now. You know, I'm not a snake guy like that. Being I wasn't anyway. I'm like, I feed you. I don't even just harass you or nothing. You just get away from me. Oh, you know. I was like, okay, how long have I had you? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think you're still within the return policy. I think that's the thing.
Hey, it's not for everybody. It's definitely not for everybody, you know? It's definitely not for everybody. I get pooped on by everything else, so I really don't. That doesn't bother me. I had a baby that pooped all over me, too, so it's like, whatever. I don't care. It's only annoying when I have to go somewhere and they like that. Like, they know when you have clean clothes on and you smell good. And yeah, they love to poop on you then. But yeah, my goats, they love to do that too. But yeah, they're crazy. I'm actually getting pretty sweaty, so we're gonna take the phone. What is it? Yeah, 84. No, not happening. I need some air. Woo! look. See everybody?
Hey, what you doing? What you doing?
Oh, look who's coming. What's the matter? Huh? What's the matter? Yeah, good girl. Yeah, she loves me.
How many goats do you have?
I have the two. Sully's not really warmed up to me yet.
Sully, what's the matter, buddy? They were
hitting a refreshing watermelon.
Hey, Sully. Can I say hi to the camera? Say hi. Hey, good boy.
Baby goats, I do not understand how. I mean, are we talking about animals? Just clowns, like, just natural clowns. I don't.
You have no idea. I was trying to prevent them from here. Here, you want the here? Bring the watermelon. And there's also some a wild turtle over here. I found it, and it's just hanging out in the cage where all the animals are. I think it's living under the shed, under the goat shed. It's just chilling. Pretty cool.
Albino just showed up. Well, he was blessed.
It's welcome. I mean, I gave it some, you know, some bugs and gave it some watermelon and lettuce. And not lettuce, greens. Whatever. All are welcome.
Right.
I'm even starting to, which is a bad idea, but the rats are getting so comfortable. That they're starting to, like, the wild rats. There's two wild rats that I've been trying to catch. They're getting so comfortable with me, they come right up to me. I'm like, really? I get it. wild rats. You need to live too. You have a job to do. But why you gotta be on my
I'm gonna say, you have to remember they are still wild rats.
Yeah.
Look, hey, people tag other people as rats on purpose. You know, hey, he's a rat. He's a rat.
Are you guys gonna finish this? Are you gonna finish it?
Morphed Ambitions, welcome in. Welcome in.
No, that one's finished. Okay, we're gonna put it to the back.
They clean in the watermelon. I know that's right.
Oh, yeah. That's now going to the back to decompose. There you go. Everything decomposes. That's biodegradable decomposition.
The woods behind the house.
Gotcha. The wild rest, thank you. Put them back down for them.
Yep. Are you still eating, bud? You're a good boy? Whatever. Yeah.
So, what all you got out there?
Oh, I got seven chickens now. The one I randomly found on the side of the road. The two goats, the two ducks that don't want to get near me, but they provide eggs, so they're welcome. Six rabbits. And that's it out here. Why are you so nosy? She's so nosy.
Goat.
Why are you so nosy?
A goat. Nosy. Hey, you talking to me? What you got over here?
So nosy.
That's crazy. Well, all right, man. We done hit the hour mark.
Yeah, we did.
And that was a very, very, very good one. That was a very good one. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
No, I appreciate, you know, the new questions. I usually get the usual questions, but these are new. So
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm about the person. It's literally, you know, hey, I have fish, but I don't think in the two years, anybody can say I ever got on a camera and told them how to keep fish.
I've never been successful with fish, maybe just a beta. So maybe you guys can give me some pointers. I'm terrible at it. I'd love to get the aquatic frogs again. With a couple of fish in there, but I'm so bad at it. Keeping the pH level or whatever levels you need to get, testing the water, it's a lot of work for me, so. Right? And while I have all these animals, but I just cannot figure out the fish, so maybe the fish people can help me.
Hey, there's a few bulletproof, but not 100%. Hey, all you have to do is just message me. When you say, hey, I'm going to jump this tank off, Hank, this is how much time I have to spend with the tank, blah, 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 and I can line you out. I can line you out. Because some fish, hey, you don't have to see them, you know, but 2 or 3 days a week if you want to, you know, all you have to do is make sure you change your water, so on and so forth. Some fish, like a discus per se, you might need to change water every day a little bit. You got to, you know, you got your high end, low end with you.
No, thank you. See, my dad my mom and my dad loved fish. My mom loved the little baby sharks, and my dad loves salt water. Salt water was the worst. Like, it was my responsibility to clean it, and we would get animals that were like 80, 90, 100 and something dollars, and they would not survive. Like, it's like they're so hard to keep alive. Like, all right. Do you give up, Dad? Do you give up now? Because we both suck at this. It was so bad. Oh, my goodness. That's why I would love to get educated now. Because that was when I was, like, 13, 14 years old. I haven't had fish except for beta since then. So, and they were not my fish. So, I'd love to learn.
Right? Gotcha. PB Aquatics say, I've never had a snake. What do you recommend?
For a first-timer? Depends on what you like. Do you like something that's like calm and kind of just hangs out with you, or do you it depends on what size you want. A good starter snake, depending on what you want, is a ball python and corn snakes, milk snakes. I'll take that back. Not milk snakes. Corn snakes and ball pythons are the best starter snakes, in my opinion. My son has a, my son's 5 years old and he has a corn snake. He also has several other ones, but I take care of him. The corn snake is the best, and it's not aggressive whatsoever. Really good snake. But when they're smaller, they can be a little bit more wiggly. So, I would definitely, ball pythons will just hang out with you, for the most part. So, and they're easier to, like, get out of food mode and things like that. You can, like, tap train and things.
So. Okay, gotcha. Inquiline, is that my question? I think it is, because you don't have any fish yet. So, I guess we'll both answer it. What's your favorite species of fish to keep? Well, no, that maybe have to be mine. Oh, okay, it's mine. Okay. All right. Favorite species would be snakehead, which is illegal here in Texas. On my wish list, I'm all about, even though I hadn't gotten back in them because I had this big devastating loss in my fish room behind my wild bettas, but I really like wild bettas, and there's a type called Antuta, which would be on my wish list. Most definitely. But we finna get on up out of here, and I want to say thank you, Tish, for coming.
You're a pleasure to live with. Absolutely.
Coming to the, I'm trying to tell people. I say do that 30-minute pre. You know, get warmed up, you know. I think it's very important.
I like to get to know you ahead of time. It was cool. We had an interesting conversation.
Definitely. Hey, y'all in the chat over there, thank y'all for coming through. Thank y'all for sitting in, you know, because it was wonderful. I can say that. And I hope you found out some things that you didn't know about Tish. And hey, she may be able to come back one day. We're going to see what's going on. And for those watching this replay, thank you. Thank you and thank you. Make sure y'all go to all your podcast stations, whatever you call them, podcasters, for Wild Hank's Wild About Herp. And I also have my fish streams over there also. But I thank y'all very much. And what I love to say is tell somebody you love them. Because somebody needs to hear it. Please. Somebody needs to hear it. Trust me. Because there's so many that feel that they're alone out here. And you have to let them know. If you are in their corner, let them know. Y'all take care of those animals. And we out of here. Peace.